At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey y'all, I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Episode 354. This comes out the last episode of the year.
Yes.
I won't sing again. Sorry, that was terrible.
Well, we went out with a bang.
Even when there's no pitch, I'm off pitch.
I can't pitch, but I sure can bitch.
I thought you were going to say you can catch.
No.
No, you mean like pitching and catching.
Oh, for sex?
Yes.
Oh, it is like a glove.
A very... large loose glove.
The shade.
Knocked that one out of the park.
Oh, did you?
Just keeping up with the balls reference, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. How was your Christmas?
Oh, let me tell you all about it. I haven't had mine yet. No, but I did want to tell you something. So,
oh, God.
All right. So if y'all know anything about me, I don't do anything until Tiffany comes that night, and we used to go to the casino, but you know, we broke bitches, so we stayed home.
Yeah, I thought y'all went to the casino this year.
She asked. She said, "Are we going to?" And I said, "I can't. I ain't got no money."
She was like, "LOL,
yeah, me either."
Okay, I didn't see that part. I thought all I saw in the group text was, "Donna, what? Like, when are we going to the casino or something?" Like that
was a joke.
Oh, okay. And then I just got busy,
like sarcasm.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. That's what that.
Mm-hmm. Carrie's in left field over there. Okay. It was terrible. Yeah, it was okay.
Way too far away.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Now I'm like, really?
And then now you're trying to like think of a comeback.
Yes, I can't help it. Okay.
We had lots of chocolate.
So Tiffany comes over and we, like I said, we used to go to the casino. Carrie thought it was this time. No. She was probably going, "Those motherfuckers are at the casino. Wonder if they're losing." You didn't even ask us if we lost or anything. You didn't fucking care.
You know what? When they don't send me pictures, they lost. So I just assumed.
No, I mean, we would tell you. I'd be like, motherfucker.
I did tell Colby, you know where those bitches are? The casino.
Well, we'll have to tell Colby, no. But, okay, so Tiffany came and bless her heart, she came in and I was emotional.
Oh, God.
And I hugged her. And, well, one, she was like, "Are we going anywhere? Like, we're not, right?" And I was like, "No." And so she got into her PJs. And I, like, went into my room where she was changing, and I, like, went to hug her, and she, like, we both didn't have a bra on, but, we had shirts on, you know, but, like, it was, like, sorry, but I needed a hug.
Oh, no bra hug is so weird.
And so, me, no boundaries, like, you and Tiffany are, like, "Oh, that's so weird." I'm, like, "I don't care. I needed a hug." But I was just, like, "Thank you so much," because I was talking to one of my friends, and they were asking me, like, what I'm doing and all the things. And I was like, waiting on Tiffany to get here from her family thing, and like, we'll hang out. And we did tacos and, you know, like, just doing that. And they're like, "Oh, that's nice that, like, she comes." And I, like, was like, didn't know I was emotional until I was like, "She always shows up for me. Like, she makes time."
Oh, like, my gosh.
What? And so I did that. And Tiffany was like, "Oh, okay." Like, she was so tired, though. Like, she came over and she went to she napped for, like, an hour. And I watched TV. You know, like, that's what we were doing, you know? Yeah. But so, anyway. But she brought me two little presents, okay? One was one of the lip balms I wanted from my thing. And I was like, "Ooh, okay." But, all right, if I were to tell you, she brought me a gift. It was wrapped, but it was, like, circular. And it was a tin, but, like, you know, it was wrapped, so I can't tell it, but it was a tin, and it was circular.
I mean, cookies.
Okay, I said, "Oh, I know what this is, those cookies, right?" Why would she do that? Because she, like, made pie and stuff, and why would she buy me those cookies? Like, I'm not her grandma, but I mean, like, I would definitely take those cookies. But, like, I said it with my whole chest. Like, oh, I know what this is. Let me do this little one, you know? And she had made a pie. And so she brought me some. And I was like, oh, I'll save that in the thing for later because I'm just going to eat some of these cookies, right, in my head.
Yeah.
And I sat down. She's like, well, open your other gift. I was like, oh, okay, yeah. And I went to open it. Not cookies. It was more like an octagon kind of thing. But, like, it was a word game. But I was like, God, I am an extra large pizza for a reason because, like, cookies. Legit,
yeah.
I was like, a 10 round Christmas cookies, those butter cookies.
Yeah.
Oh, but this was even better. But, oh, my God, you want, okay, when you open it, guess what it had on top?
Instructions.
Yeah, but it had, like, wax paper on top, and I said, like, I was doing something, like, oh, those cookies. God damn! Like, the cookies aren't there, Donna.
That's funny.
Yeah, but it was really good. But, okay, so how I said she was really tired. Later that night, we were talking about stuff, and she was like, so were you sad today? And I was like, no, I wasn't sad. Like, I definitely said, like, I don't want to be alone next year. Like, as in, I want to be in a relationship with someone next year. Like, I'm ready for, like, my traditions and, like, you know what I mean? So I was like, God, I just don't want to be alone. Like, I want my stocking stuffed and also
presents.
Literally stuffed.
Yeah.
Like, I want to do that. Well, I said, but it was more like of a thoughtful, like, and really grateful thing that, like, she comes over and, like, I do have something to do. And she said, oh, God, don't make me cry. And I was like, I literally told you that when you got in and I made you hug. She said, well, now it's going to make me cry. I was like, uh-huh, now you're emotional. I said, go ahead and cry. I've already done it. Like, we're good. That's my Christmas. But we're about to have our Christmas tomorrow where we all exchange gifts and do all this stuff. So you tell me about your Christmas.
I don't think I cried this Christmas. I think that's the first one in a couple of years that I didn't cry. Yeah. Sometimes, though, the emotions just become, like, too much. Even happy emotions and you tear up, you know? Like, I did kind of, my eyes got a little watery when Allie opened her gift from us because she was so excited. So it's like, it's just like a lot of emotion. But I decided to be, I don't know, who's somebody that bakes? And Martha Stewart.
Okay. I was like the barefoot Contessa.
Okay. Not her.
I mean, she does.
And everybody that cooks, like, at all is going to be like, that's what you made. But this was a huge feat for me.
It was good.
So I made the Crock-Pot candy, which is just, like, peanuts and chocolate that you melt down and then you just scoop out. Like, that's literally all it is. But, you know, it's something new. You get nervous. You want everybody to like it. Well, I specifically bought an ice cream scoop for it. Like one that, like, click, click, clicks, not the one that we got for our wedding present. And I guess I got, like, a huge scoop because those motherfuckers were big.
Imagine that, though. Like, you got a bigger scoop.
Yes.
You know?
But they were good. Like, everybody really liked them.
Yeah. I said they tasted like a Babe Ruth.
I don't think they taste like a Babe Ruth at all. But what are they going to do next year is I'll lay them out on the parchment paper, like, in, like, a sheet and then just try to, like, cut them with a knife because they were just too big and too thick.
I like them thick.
I mean, me too, but not when it's going to chip a tooth.
It wasn't hard. It wasn't like they were, like, brittle.
No, I know, but still, it's still, you got a little.
Okay.
And then I made brownies, just like box brownies from Sam's. They're the best. But then I made homemade buttercream icing, which I've never, ever, ever done. And made quite the mess because Lindsay sent me her recipe. And I missed the part where she said, put a towel over your mixer while you're stirring the powdered sugar. And I didn't do that. And it did go everywhere, but it was already everywhere. And Colby was like, while I was cooking and finishing the stuff, he, like, started cracking up. He's like, you make the biggest mess. He was like, it's hilarious because it's like, how the fuck did you get icing over here?
Yeah.
Because it was like on the little coffee thing. He's like, how did you get icing on the other side of the counter on the coffee thing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because you're the Tasmanian devil.
Yeah, it's really bad. But the icing turned out pretty good.
It was so good.
It was a little buttery. I feel like maybe I didn't mix it long enough, but then I mixed it some more and then it got better. But I made, with the icing, I cut them cut the brownies out in triangles and made Santa hats. My icing was kind of pink. Now, I know you said one looked good, but that was the second batch that was way redder than the first batch.
It looked good.
They tasted good.
They tasted real good.
So I was really proud of that.
Yeah, no, that was really good.
And I always make deviled eggs. And Jessica, I used your trick of putting the oil in the water. Isn't that what she told me? No, she told me vinegar. Wait, what'd she tell me? Can you message me, Jessica, what you do? Because I don't know. You know, Jessica, we went to high school with that listens.
Oh.
Maybe she said vinegar. She did say vinegar. I put oil. Anyway.
Did it work?
Yeah, I boiled 36 eggs, and I think I ruined 6.
Okay.
So not terrible.
Yeah. You know.
Actually, 5. I think Colby just ate one. And then those were all gone. Everybody ate the shit out of those. And then I make our breakfast casserole.
Yeah.
But what's good is all that stuff is made the day before. So like Christmas Day, while they're putting their casseroles and stuff together, I'm just chilling because I made the breakfast, I made the eggs, I made dessert, you know.
Yeah. You're like such a housewife. Like a...
I don't know who this person is.
What is it? Like a Betty Homemaker?
Susie.
Susie Homemaker. Betty Crocker. You know what you are? You're a crock of shit.
So Donna ate 3 desserts today. Before we recorded, can y'all tell?
She said, you're not going to finish those.
I'm like, there's literally no way you're going to finish.
Did I finish? I did.
Can y'all tell? I can. Colby did so good with my presents this year because I had the realization that all the men in my family get like good gifts, like because they all have hobbies. They hunt, they fish, they golf, they whatever other hobbies they have. Right. So they get all these gifts for their hobbies, but like my sisters always get gifts for the house, like a bedspread, a standing mixer, a blah, 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 you know? And so I was like, damn, that really sucks. Because every gift I could think of.
No, a standing mixer?
That's just because, yes, but that's just because I was thinking about my icing and stuff.
That is. That is nice.
But you know what I'm saying, though. Like, it's something for the house.
Yeah.
And everything I could think of for Christmas this year was for something for the house. And I'm like, no, I won't, like, I don't, I mean, like, I will get those things. Like, I want a gift. But y'all know I'm hard to shop for, and I couldn't think of fucking anything. But Colby didn't get me anything for the house. He got me all gifts. And I was like, damn, you did a good job this year.
Yeah.
Because he was like, I don't know what the fuck to get you. And then he did a good job.
Yeah.
Well, another gift we're super excited to get this year is a gift to ourselves. You know, I've been telling y'all my jaw has been hurting. And I was like, oh, I think it's just my CPAP strap. Well, it isn't that. So I am super excited to get my Remy in the mail.
Me too, because I don't grind or anything. I clench. Like, I clench my booty cheeks and clench my jaws.
Well, what's Remy, you ask, and why are we super excited? Remy makes dental-grade, professional-quality mouth guards without the painful price tag.
And that's what we like to hear, because they're up to 80% cheaper than what you'd pay at the dentist. And guess what? You don't have to go to a dentist office. You can do this without your bra on, girls.
Did we?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure I didn't have on a bra when we did this. When you get mouth guards from the dentist, you could literally be paying $500 to $800. But then Remy comes in, like, insert superhero cape with the wind blowing, and they're like, I got you, boo. We'll get you dental grade stuff at 80% cheaper. So this is what you do. Well, Remy's going to send you a kit, like, to make your impressions at home of your teeth. And then you send those back, and then they're going to make it for you, send it back to you, and you go to sleep like a baby.
Right. And the thing is that they are custom fit to your mouth. You're not having to have something that looks like a linebacker or a boxer would wear from, you know, like, the box stores and stuff. Yeah.
When you get your kit, it comes with 2 sizes, a smaller size and a larger size. Now, y'all know that when I go to the dentist, I got to use the kid sizes. And y'all know Donna ain't got that size mouth. So I was like, well, I know I'm the small one. Let me just try the large. Literally gagged myself because I was like, that don't fit. Then this girl's like, it doesn't fit me either. And it was like, I was like, yes, it does. It's about, like, bite it. And she was like, no, I think I need the small. And I was like, okay, bite it. And she was like, oh, no, I don't need
like,
the small.
It like was in my mouth.
But the process of making the impressions at home is super easy. It comes with like handwritten stuff. You can watch a video on how to do it. That's super helpful. And then you just mix the stuff up, put it on there, make your impression, and send them pictures.
You know, me and Carrie can't do anything easy. And so we did mess up on the first ones. But I will say that Rumi is so helpful. And they were like, girl, do you want to do a Zoom consult on how to do this? And I was like, yes, please. And so I did it with a professional who showed me exactly how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did. In true Carrie form, I dropped it. So I got panicky and I did mine backwards. And then when I sent them the picture, they were like, okay, just do your top impressions again. So, you know, got the top impressions done. And here we are. Well, if y'all want in on this to help with jaw pain, headaches, from clenching, grinding, all the things, y'all got to check out Rumi. Rumi is for anyone that is dealing with all of those things, especially if you want an affordable solution to protect your smile and say goodnight to jaw pain and headaches. Head to shoprumi.com/creep and use the code creep to save up to 50%.
That's 50% off at shoprumi.com/creep. So that is shoprumi.com/creep with the code creep.
Give your teeth a break without breaking the bank with Rumi. Thank you, Rumi, for sponsoring this episode.
Okay, so we've talked about the past. I'm going to talk about the present for a second.
The present you're going to get me?
Girl, you know you're probably going to hate the presents I got you. So let's just be honest.
Wait, can we tell them about what I did to poor Creep Mom?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
sorry
yes.
to interrupt you. Okay, y'all know how that Donna, it's the whole thing of Donna getting me that cup.
It's a wine tumbler.
It was a wine tumbler, and she opened hers, and I was like, that's the dumbest shit I've ever seen.
Because I thought it was amazing.
I was like, that's such a waste of space, because it had a wine glass inside the tumbler, and the very next present I opened was my very own wine tumbler. Then, 2 years ago, when Colby was like, do you like this backpack purse? And I was like, I mean, I like it. I just don't want one. And he had already bought me said backpack purse. Well, this year on our Creepinati Am I the Asshole live for Patreon, we were talking about Christmas presents. And I was like, I don't like getting socks anymore. I used to love socks. But like, I don't like them for, I don't want to like Christmas, like I'm not really into like the fuzzy socks anymore. Well, the very next day I get a present from Creep Mom and it's socks. But these were aloe socks.
Yes.
Very different. Mm-hmm. So I told her, thank you. And I will use the shit out of those.
She sent me a message and said, well, fuck me. She said, well, me, I got Carrie socks with aloe. And I was like, oh, no, aloe will be good because she needs them. Her feet are dry.
Bad dry. Because I'm, you know, I have sensory issues and so I don't like the feeling of lotion, but I felt so bad. I was like, I gotta stop talking about presents.
Okay. I don't know if I told you this, but Creep Mom got me, I think I told everyone, Creep Mom got me a Tiger King ornament.
Yes.
Okay. So she said that she saw it at the Mothman Festival that she went to and she was like, I'm gonna get it. No, I'm not gonna get it. So she didn't get it. She went home and she was like, no, I need to get it. So she ordered it. Okay. Then she listened to an episode and I was talking about how you got me that ornament for Marley. I think I said Tiffany got it for me, but it was you and it didn't fit my aesthetic. So I put it in the back of the thing. And she said, well, fuck. Like, cause she had like got me this ornament. And then she said, then write that episode. I was like, but I'm throwing all of that out. Like, I want all the different ones. She's like, oh, God, okay. So poor Creep Mom has been on a roller coaster of emotions.
Oh, God. You're excited about Patreoners.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Becky T. from Ohio.
Megan C. from Wisconsin.
And Tara A. from PA.
Oh, I love that.
Me too. Thank y'all so much for joining the Creepinati. And if you want an episode shout out and in on the Am I the Asshole Live where I bash my future Christmas presents, head on over to patreon.com/theAPC podcast. Okay, for real though, what were you going to say about presents?
Oh, I was just going to say the present.
Oh, yeah.
Not, and then you were like, oh, what you got me?
Yeah. forgot.
Okay. Well, one, I got you multiple.
We're so materialistic this episode. And by we, I mean me.
No. So, no, I was going to, well, I'm a Leo and I'm talking about me. So there's that. But I did a bingo card instead of
a resolution.
Yeah, like resolutions. I saw it on TikTok. Imagine that. And I was like, that's a good idea. Instead of like making a list and then feeling so daunted.
Because you had to check it twice.
Yes. And I'm always naughty. I'm not nice. But I was like, ooh, because, you know, like who doesn't love bingo? One. But then if I actually do make a bingo, I can reward myself.
OK, I was going to ask you, are you trying to make a whole blackout or are we?
I mean, let's just be honest. It's not going to be a blackout, but I have way different things on it. Like it's some podcast related things, some weight loss goals. I also have go on 2 solo dates because.
What? How do you mean solo dates? Like not a double date?
No, like with myself, individual.
Oh, that's a big goal for you.
Right. I've only been to the movies once by myself and I didn't like it, but I'm actually going to go to a restaurant twice by myself.
Phone or no phone?
Phone.
Okay.
Like, who doesn't have a phone?
No, I know, but like, are you going to let yourself like read a book or like watch TikToks while you do it? Or are you going to like make yourself just sit with yourself?
Oh, there's no way I can just sit with myself.
Okay.
Like, who can do that?
Okay.
No. Because I want to talk to myself then, and then that'd be just awkward because I'm like over in the corner. But no, seriously, I'm really going to try to go like to places that I wouldn't normally go. Cause like I could go to the place that we always go to eat.
You can't do that.
That would be a cheat because people know me and then they'd talk to me and then it would be like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like wouldn't be a real thing. So I'm going to places I haven't been by myself twice. That's going to be my goal for the whole year. So like, let's just know it's not going to happen January 1st, but like just little things like that. Also Botox is on my list too.
Oh, Lord. So we're materialistic and vain this episode.
But anyway, so I was just thinking if y'all didn't hear about that on TikTok and you were like, I don't know if I want to do a resolution or any of that, do a bingo card. I got all my coworkers doing them.
I don't know if I could think of that many goals for my life.
Well, I have some like that's like walk a mile every day for a month.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just so like to make a routine for myself.
Yeah.
Also go to therapy for 3 months regularly. But I always like, I'm going to hopefully go for the whole year, but I can't have everything that's a year long goal because then you can't get a bingo until the very end.
And then also a year long goal is very lofty. Like that's a hard goal to meet.
Anyway, enough about me. Let's get into your story.
Okay, so my story tonight, today, this morning, whenever the fuck you listen, came from, I was laying in bed, and I was watching.
Paula's on.
No.
Oh, shit.
People.
Oh, people.
On ID.
Okay, yeah.
And so this was on that. This was on a couple of other shows, like a what was it? It's not like that cold show. It's, I don't know, something about an Alaska murder. Okay, so we're going to Craig, Alaska. This is like a super small island. It's in with like a group of islands known as Prince of Wales Island, but it's in Alaska. Have you ever noticed on White Christmas?
Never watched that movie.
Okay. Well, on White Christmas, the sisters are talking and they're like, one of the sisters is like fibbing about something. And
is what?
Fibbing about something.
Okay.
I said fibbing. And Rosemary
Clooney. No, I thought you were going to say vehemently or something. And I was like, I thought you just said a real country.
Oh, no. And Rosemary Clooney's character is like, did you not get mom's letter this week? Because our brother is out of the country in Alaska. Because Alaska hadn't been incorporated yet.
Oh, shit.
So, like, he was out of the country because. Yeah. So, it looks like it was like 1954 when Alaska was incorporated into the states.
Fuck.
That's just like, what?
Right?
Anyway.
Wow, says the history major. Had no fucking clue.
Donna's like, yeah, the Louisiana Purchase. Okay, so on this island is a family. Carl and Laurie.
Okay, just one.
Well, a lot, but okay. Carl and Laurie Waterman.
Man, that would be, I'm Carl from Craig.
Well, Carl went by Doc, so.
Oh.
So the family was a pretty close-knit family in a very close-knit community, and Doc and Laurie were very involved in the community, too. They went to church all the time. They volunteered for community projects. And I feel like when you live in such a small area, you kind of have to be. Like, I feel like everyone has, like, seven jobs because there's so few people on this island.
Yeah.
That they kind of had to. Because
literally, I go to, yeah, like, Stars Hollow.
No.
Yeah, but you're talking even smaller.
Yeah, because, I mean, this is truly an island. Like, you to get to this island, you either have to take a ferry or a plane. Like, an island.
That's how my dad's island was. You know, his own personal one.
Yeah, okay.
But like where he was born, like you can't get to it unless that.
Yeah. Doc was a real estate agent and was the president of the local school board. So that's why I say, like, I feel like everybody had 17 different jobs.
Yeah.
Well, actually, Laurie and Doc both volunteered with the Girl Scouts. She was also a special education teacher's aide.
How do men volunteer with the Girl Scouts?
I think he was like a figurehead type role.
Oh, okay, okay.
You know,
okay.
Like, I don't think he was like in their fucking cabins.
Well, I didn't mean that, but I thought the men had the boys.
Yeah.
Scouts and that.
Yeah. I think that he probably had some sort of like helping with the organization. What?
In my head, I said, and Pillsbury Doughboy has the brownie.
Y'all, so much sugar before we recorded.
Okay, I'm sorry.
We know that the Watermans had a daughter named Rochelle, and I saw where they had a son too, but I really honestly didn't see that in a lot of stuff. Like one of the articles I read on Medium, I was like, son? What the hell? I didn't even know there was a son. Like, I just assumed she was an only child because it never talked about a son anywhere else, but he had just gone away to college. So it was just their 16-year-old daughter, Rochelle, and them in the house. Now, Rochelle was really smart, honor student. She played volleyball. She sang in the choir. But as time went on, she started getting a little more rebellious. But y'all, it's the early 2000s. Like, this story happens in, like, 2004. So this part, I feel like I kind of take with a grain of salt because I feel like she's just a 14, 15-year-old. And it's like, yeah, that was kind of the style because it was like she was rebellious. She started wearing black clothes.
Oh, Lord.
Started painting her fingernails black, you know. Yeah. And so while I feel like that's probably not the norm in Craig, Alaska, it was here. And like she loved to go off the island and go shopping at like Hot Topic and stuff. So it's like,
yeah.
I feel like it's not that big of a deal, but she was interested in Wicca. And she had some books that her parents found, and they were like very much like Christian people that went to church and stuff. And so they really had a hard time with her being interested in Wicca. But this created some strife in the family because she was becoming more rebellious just in the way she was acting. But it's like, it just kills me. It's like, she's rebellious. She's wearing black clothes. She's wearing a black choker.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
A dog collar choker.
And it's just, that was the fad.
I mean, it's 2003, 2004. Yeah. Have you ever seen Avril Lavigne?
Right.
But things started getting, well, tense in the house when Rochelle started dating Jason Arant. But the problem with her dating Jason was not just that she was dating, is that she was dating Jason because he's 24 years old.
Ooh. She reminds me of me.
Well, like, Jason was old enough that he was the janitor at her school.
So we know how they met.
Well, no, because Jason was BFFs with Brian Riddell, and Brian and Rochelle dated first.
Oh, fuck. That never goes well.
Well, she was 15 when she dated Brian.
How old was Brian?
The same age as Jason.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then I guess it didn't work out. And he was like, hey, I know somebody that you might like, and introduced her to Jason.
Wow. And he worked at the high school.
Isn't that so inappropriate and creepy. I mean, the age of consent in Alaska was 16. Doesn't make it right. It still makes it gross because she's still a child and they're fucking 24. Like, that's so fucking inappropriate. But her parents were like, you really, really don't need to date him. They really tried to keep him apart. They grounded her. They did everything they could to keep her home, and she would just sneak out. But because the age of consent is 16, they couldn't, like, press charges or anything like that to stop it.
Yeah.
But I just feel like if he worked at the school and she was a student at the school, they could have gotten him fired or whatever.
Yeah. But then, God, that's... If she's sneaking out to meet him, then right. you get him fired. That I think that's like a whole other thing.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, if you're trying to find some sort of recourse, like, I just don't know what you do in that.
No, I don't either. I don't think y'all are parents.
Yeah, I don't think they knew either, which is why they couldn't keep them apart. Because again, the more you push to keep them apart, the more it's going to push them to get, you know, to get together.
Uh-huh. And then they're going to, like, trauma bond. And not really they, it's going to be the younger girl who's going to, like, trauma bond
yes.
with him, because it's like, my parents don't understand me. They're right. ruining my whole life.
So in true 2004, when this story takes place, in true 2004 fashion, Rochelle dealt with her emotions through blogging, and she had a live journal.
Oh, shit. Me too. God dang. Rochelle.
So her
are we live, the same person?
Her live journal was called My Crappy Life. And in it, she talked about how much, I mean, she hated where she lived. She wanted out. She talked about how much, well, she hated fucking everything. So picture it. September 13th, 2004. Laurie was home because she had, like, shit to do around the area. And Doc and Rochelle were gone to Anchorage for a volleyball tournament. It's like 400 miles away. And this story reminded me, we have this rehab tech right now, and her parents are, like, military. And so she's kind of lived everywhere, but right now they're in Alaska, and she went to high school in Alaska. And she was like, oh my God, I did every single sport possible to be able to leave the island.
Oh.
Like, so it was, like, so cool. Like, she would be able to go to all these places and get off the island as part of her sports. And yeah. so I was like, I don't know, this just made me think of her that
yeah.
she was freaking 400 miles away for a volleyball thing.
Fuck.
So that night, Laurie gets in bed about 11 p.m. And the next morning, when she's supposed to go to church, she doesn't show up. Doc and Rochelle get home from Anchorage the next day. And when they get there, Laurie's not there, and neither is their van. But they didn't know where she was. And there was some weird stuff, because there was a bottle of wine, like an open bottle of wine, on the, what's that called? Cabinet? Counter. Counter.
I was like, what?
Just on a cabinet, just taped up there.
I was like, oh.
It was on a countertop.
Okay.
But the weird thing is that Laurie didn't drink. Like, not at all.
Okay.
So it would be like finding an open bottle of wine at your house. Like,
yeah.
But she on medicine. Like, she can't. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And she's not home. She's nowhere to be found. So Doc calls their next door neighbor and is like, hey, is she there? And he's like, no, hadn't seen her. Didn't see her at church. You know, that kind of thing. Doc also noticed the house was pretty messy. And it's like, I mean, while the house wasn't pristine, it was a little messier than usual. The bed wasn't made, you know, just little stuff. So they go out in their car to drive around and find her, and they don't find her. And so they end up calling police. So the police get a search warrant for the house. And, you know, they had found some stuff, like the tip of a glove at the house.
Oh, God.
Like a latex glove. Just stuff like that. There was just some weird shit going on.
Yeah.
So people start searching for Laurie. So this was on a Sunday that, like, they called police, can't find her. So the next day, Monday, Rochelle goes to school, which I think's weird. You know, everything's like, oh, it's to maintain normalcy, all the things. But, I mean, if your mom was literally missing, like, y'all had called police missing, would you go to school?
No.
Yeah, you didn't. You would skip school no matter what. You're not the right person to ask.
I was going to say, I mean, I might just be in a fetal position, or let's just be honest, I walked like without shoes on to find my mama when I was little, when I thought she had left me.
Yeah, I just, like, again, I get the, like, it's not like she's a 5-year-old.
That's
and
what
it's
I was
like,
gonna say. She could be out searching and well, stuff.
But she also knows what's going on. Again, it's not like she's in kindergarten, first, third grade even, and you're getting her out of the house so that y'all could figure stuff out or search for her or whatever without upsetting them or really kind of letting them know what was going on, because there's no sense in alerting a second grader until we know something really bad happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they're, so it's, she's 16. It's not like it's a 7-year-old, you know? So again, if it was a 7-year-old, I'd be like, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. But like, this was weird. And then some people said she was weird at school. You know, like she wasn't very emotional. And then sometimes she'd be emotional, which that I can understand because, you know, sometimes when shit's going down, you go from like, somebody literally could be dying in front of you and you could be laughing and then in the next 5 minutes crying, you know?
Yeah.
So like that I kind of get. But the weird thing is that she said basically like, yeah, my mom probably died in a drunk driving accident.
Okay. Like why?
Why is that your go-to period? But especially knowing that your mom doesn't drink. Like, why is that your go-to of like, yeah, she probably just died in a drunk driving accident. Like, what?
Yeah, and Laurie didn't seem, like I know her, but didn't seem to be the type. Like, she went to bed at 11, sure, but like she was at home.
Yeah.
And stuff. Like, not just like running the roads. And
that just seems like a huge leap. Like,
yeah,
has she driven drunk before? Like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then just to be so like, nonchalant, blasé, like, yeah, she's probably dead from a drunk driving.
Yeah, I was going to say lackadaisical. Is that the right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
But then, you know, there's some interviews with the neighbor, Don, that says that, like, Rochelle was in his truck, like, rocking back and forth, crying and saying prayers because she was upset. Because he, like, went to get her from school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
But she could be putting that on because she knows like what Dawn reacts to or would believe or something like that. But also too, like if she's in on it, I don't know. But if she is, she might have saw Dawn coming to pick her up from school and being like, fuck, what's going on?
Yeah.
Have they found her? Have they done that? You know what I mean? And like,
right. Well, yes, because he was coming to get her from school because they had found something.
Oh, fuck.
Police had found a van about 40 miles away from their house that had, like, it was still smoldering from burning.
Holy fuck.
And this van had burned so hot that it had melted the license plate and stripped some of the paint off. To the point where, at first, they couldn't even find a body. Like, it was literally, like, just a skull left.
Oh, my God.
So that tells you how hot this van had to be because, you know, it's, you know, if you see anything, watch anything true crime, it's like a burning house and a burning car isn't really going to hide anything because it doesn't burn hot enough. Well, this one did. 3 days after Laurie went missing, they were able to confirm that the remains found in that van were hers. They used the VIN number in the van to kind of confirmed to the family so they weren't, I mean, they, to, you know, kind of be like, we're pretty sure this is her van, but we have to, you know, make a final identification, but it's, you know, so they weren't necessarily having to wait those 3 days. So the police were like, okay, so we've got a body now, you know, someone had clearly broken into the house because there was like a footprint on the windowsill too. Like I said, there was just some weird oddities at the house. They knew it wasn't a burglary because literally nothing was missing. And then the fact that the car was burned, there was a gasoline trail. Like, you could tell that this was foul play, not just her car caught on fire. So, of course, police first look at Doc. You know, because you always got to start in the inner circle.
Did they say, well, what's up, Doc?
Probably not. Doc and Rochelle both had a solid alibi. They were literally 400 miles away. And, you know, they checked financials and all of that to see, like, okay, he clearly couldn't have done it, but did he pay?
Hired?
Yeah, all of that. So they checked financials and all of that. And, you know, there was some rumors of like an affair, but it was like, I think it was more like she went missing. She's dead. You know, I bet that he had an affair. Uh-huh. Like there was, by all accounts, they had a really solid marriage. And basically they were like, that ain't him. It ain't Doc. So they, of course, look at Rochelle. Now, you know, when they talked to Rochelle, basically she was like, yeah, we had a good relationship. But there were rumblings of abuse because Rochelle kind of alluded to that in some of her live journal posts.
Ooh.
And, you know, she had changed. Like, whether or not you think, oh, wearing black clothes was like a big deal, it was a difference for her. And they knew that she was hanging out with 24, 25 year olds. So that kind of made police go, huh, we need to look at this a little bit more closely. So Jason, I told you, who was her boyfriend at the time, worked as the janitor, but Brian worked at a computer store, and she had worked at the computer store, and that's how she met him.
Okay.
And so they hung out, played Dungeons and Dragons together, all the things, and that's when they develop a relationship, and...
I swear to God, it sounded like you were Scooby-Doo and said relationship weird.
I probably did. Okay.
Did that sound like you?
You actually did.
Okay.
So the police are like, let's look at Jason and Brian. So they ask them, and they're like, yeah, we were together. We hung out all weekend just watching The Princess Bride over and over again. That's what Jason said.
Uh-huh.
But Brian said...
The Princess Diaries?
Basically. Okay. Now, they like kind of said the same thing, but they said it a little differently. So it was like, their stories just aren't matching, you know?
Well, but sometimes, though, when they match too well, people are like, something's up with that.
No, because it was like, I think one of them said they slept at the same house and one of them didn't.
Oh,
yeah, it was
okay.
Like,
okay,
it was like that.
That was,
it's not
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, well, we went to eat at 11:30 and the other one said 1:30. Like, it's not, it's not like that. It's like, no, you'd know where you slept.
Right.
So after they interviewed them as to their whereabouts, the next day, Jason calls and said he had been attacked in this parking lot by a guy in a black hood who was like, stay away from Rochelle.
Okay.
And the police were like, okay. Because they were like, the scratch on his neck like looks very self-inflicted.
Mm.
And so they, you know, are asking him questions because he was, air quotes, attacked. And they're like, this shit's fake, right? Like, you fake this, right? Like, tell me what's going on with Laurie. Like, you know, they start questioning him. And he breaks. And he says that Brian's the one that killed Laurie because she was abusing Rochelle. But Jason was like adamant, like, I just drove. Brian is the one that killed her. And they're like, cool. Well, you're going to wear a wire for us? And he's like, yeah. So he wears a wire and goes and talks to Brian. And Brian definitely said some incriminating stuff on the wire. So the police bring him in and they're like, so, you know, your boy wore a wire, right? And like, we got you. You know that,
shit.
Right? And so he ends up confessing as well. And he, of course, is like, well, you know, Jason downplayed his role, right? He
was, of course,
way more involved than he's pretending to be. But he's like, but y'all do know Rochelle is being abused. Like, we did this for her. She was going to die if we didn't do this. Because she said that her mom had hit her in the legs with a bat and had, like, pushed her down the stairs, threatened to kill her and sell her for sex work and, like, all these things. Brian tells police that they broke into the house and, like, threw the cat door, like, reached up and unlocked the door.
God, how freaking long are their limbs?
For real. They tied Laurie up, and they had bought the bottle of wine, and they forced her to drink it because what their plan was, was to make it look like a drunk driving accident.
Oh, Rochelle,
but yeah.
Oh, sorry.
For once, Donna didn't remember a name. Well, I mean, you remembered it. You just didn't
say
it right.
I fucked it up.
So they put her in the back of the car and drove her out to this place in the woods. The plan was to try to snap her neck to, like, kill her that way.
Oh, fuck.
Which, of course, they couldn't do because this isn't a fucking movie and they're not, like, CIA agents.
Right.
So they ended up strangling her. They moved her car some more and then set it on fire. So they both get charged with murder and, like, all the other things, like kidnapping, blah, 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 blah. Like, you name it, they charged them with them. And it didn't take long before they start singing like a canary on Rochelle.
Because obviously she was in on it when she was like, might have been a drunk driving accident when there's, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, who said anything about that?
Right. So at first they tried to be like, no, she didn't do it. She didn't do it. And they're like, but did she do it? And they're like, okay, yeah. And she told us she was going to be home this weekend by herself because they had to go out of town. So they bring Rochelle in for questioning. And remember, she's only 16. So they're like, hey, you want your dad here? She said no. They're like, you want an attorney here? She said no. So they're like, cool. Did you do this? And she's like, no. And at first, she does start to tell them about the abuse, even though, you know, before they had a close relationship and didn't say anything about the abuse. But now she's like, yeah, I told him about the abuse. And, like, I told him not to do it. This one was on Oxygen because there was a show, Fatal Frontier, that this was on. Rochelle says, I remember me saying, like, no, don't do it. And the police were like, well, clearly you didn't protest very hard or, you know, whatever. And she was like, well, maybe I shouldn't ever be on the debate team. And they're like, you don't need to be a smart aleck. And she says, you don't need to question everything I say.
Oh, like, okay.
So it's just like, it's just, if my mom had been murdered.
Yeah.
And she even put on her blog, like on her live journal, like, hey guys, my mom got murdered. So like, I'm going to be out of here for a little while because the police are taking my hard drive kind of thing. Like, it was like, not like.
Like an inconvenience.
Yes. It was like, not this like heartfelt, like, I'm going to miss her so much. Like, it was like, hey guys. Catch you on the flip side, my mom got murdered, you know? Ugh. But she did tell police that her mom, you know, about being hit with a baseball bat, pushed down the stairs. And she said that they offered to kill her mom and she was like, no. And then she eventually said, like, it eventually came out, she was lying about the abuse.
Of course. Oh my God.
Because everybody's like, what? Lori? Like, I just don't see it. Like they've never even seen her lose her temper. Like, yes, people can hide who they are behind closed doors, like all the time. Mm-hmm. But there's usually a glimmer of the temper. You know, you may not see the whole thing. You may not see what they do, whatever. But you've at least seen something of the temper, you know. And I feel like with nothing, there was nothing that people had ever seen. I mean, even me, like. You would be like, yeah, but she does have a little bit of a temper. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not abusing anybody, but like that didn't even exist with Laura, you know?
Yeah. It takes a sick person to make up a lie. And like, I mean, okay. She had a live journal. I'm sure I said like shit on there too. Like my life, terrible, you know?
Yes, it's teenage angsty. Yes. That's what it's there for.
But when someone's like, is this real? Like, you know, and it's like abuse kind of stuff.
Right.
And you're like, terrible. Like, she tried to kill me. No, you can't say that.
Right. Like,
it's so weird how people find each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
It's like they all wanted to do that at some point. And you know what I mean? To just be like, all right, got to do it.
So there was another attempt on Laurie's life. So Laurie had been coming to pick Rochelle up after volleyball practice one day at the school. And Brian was going to be at the school to shoot her.
What?
Well, it seems like Rochelle was a little hesitant for that, but Brian was like going through with it. And then when he got there and was like getting ready, he had forgotten like the bolt or some shit for his gun. And so like he couldn't shoot it.
Mm.
So it's like this almost happened even way before. So it's like it wasn't a, like at no point was she, even if she second guessed everything, no point was she like, hey, dad, hey, police, this may go down, you know?
Yeah. I feel the only reason that she was hesitant with the shooting thing is that she would have been there and saw it.
Yeah.
Like this way she was away and her problem was dealt with, but right. she didn't have to be a part of it.
So they're all arrested and they're all charged with murder. They're all charged with conspiracy to commit murder, kidnapping, burglary, you know, and first degree murder. And they all turned on each other pretty quick. Brian pled guilty. And because he was the one that actually committed the murder, he got a 99-year prison sentence. And then Jason pled guilty as well, but because he didn't actually do the murder, he got 50 years. Now, Rochelle went to trial. And it seems like the family was pretty divided. Like, her dad, I think, was on her side.
What?
And I don't know that for sure, but I'll tell you why I remember. I'll tell you why in a little while, why I think that. But they're like, the rest of the family was like, hell no, she's dead to me kind of thing. But before I go into the trial about Rochelle, we have to talk about Hungry Root. Because as Donna says, new sponsor alert, new sponsor alert, two new sponsors. Right now is that time of the year where I have eaten so poorly for like, well, since Thanksgiving. And it's like, I just feel so bloated and just heavy. Like my body feels heavy, just like full of junk food.
Oh, like me today?
Yes. And that is where Hungry Root comes in. Hungry Root is like having your own personal shopper and nutritionist all wrapped into one.
Hungry Root really is the easiest way to eat healthy.
It's nutritious food that can help you achieve like any of your health goals, like anti-inflammatory, gut-friendly, gluten-free, dairy-free, high-protein, etc., etc., etc.
Shopping, planning, cooking food really can be simple and stress-free with Hungry Root.
And all of Hungry Root's recipes can be made in just 15 minutes or less. And guess how many recipes they have?
15,000.
15,000 recipes that are ready to be shipped to your door every single week.
All you have to do is tell them about your goals, your preferences, and then they fill your cart with personalized recommendations that get smarter as they learn more about what you like and you don't love. That's what I really love about Hungry Root, though, is because it filled my cart and then I got to say, oh, that sounds like really good.
Mm-hmm.
This one could be good, but I don't want that one. I want more of that.
Yes.
And I can change and edit it. And then me doing that is just helping them know in the future.
And it doesn't have to just be like, okay, this is my dinner, because they have like smoothies, kid snacks, sweets, ready-to-eat meals, salads kits. They even have supplements.
I will say that I'm trying to do high protein, that I'm back on my health kick, and I wanted to try all the high protein snacks.
Yeah.
So they had a few, and then they had some cookies in there that were high protein and yeah. stuff. So I was like, let me try all of these because we don't have that at our local grocery store.
Right.
So this is a way to let me taste what I want to taste and then I can build from there.
And the fact that all of their meals can be made in just 15 minutes or less is like, sign me all the way up. And you are going to love Hungry Root as much as we do. So right now is the time to take advantage of our exclusive offer. For a limited time, get 40% off your first box, plus get a free item in every box for life.
For life.
I don't know what Donna just did, but you got to go to hungryroot.com/creep and use the promo code creep.
That's hungryroot.com/creep. Use code creep to get 40% off your first box and a free item of your choice for life.
That's hungryroot, HungryRoot.com/creep and use promo code creep. You know, I got to spell it for y'all because our accent sometimes is accenting. That is HungryRoot.com/creep and use promo code creep. So Rochelle goes to trial in January of 2006. Both Jason and Brian testify against her.
Whoa, okay. Scorned lovers.
Well, now the defense tried to get her confession thrown out because they're like, she's 16.
I thought that was like legal consent is just for sex. I thought.
Yeah. Just for their relationship. Because they're like, okay, you interviewed the 16-year-old. She didn't have her dad present. She didn't have an attorney present. And they're like, yeah, but we asked her. And like, because they interviewed her twice. They interviewed her. She said she didn't want all that. And then when they brought her back, they even read her Miranda rights and she still didn't want all that. So it's like, we gave her every opportunity and then she started telling us all the things. So that's on her, you know?
Yeah.
Well, the defense is like, no, she's fucking 16. But the judge allows the confession in. So it goes to trial and it ends in a hung jury.
What?
So then the same judge that was like, yes, you can have that confession was like, no, you can't. And
what?
Yeah. And said, and because that's basically what y'all based the grand jury on, they pulled, essentially dropped the charges because they're like, the grand jury shouldn't have brought an indictment based on that. So they like took the indictment away.
What
so
the fuck?
They basically had to start get over. And there was a retrial in 2011. And she was convicted of criminally negligent homicide and sentenced to 3 years in prison.
3 years for being like the kingpin of this?
Yeah.
Like inciting a mob, yeah. Basically?
Yeah. And like, I think it was the release like in between the trials where one thing said like, she was released to her father's arms, like waiting on her. And so that's why I was like, I'm pretty sure her dad was like still supportive of her.
Oh my God.
So I actually don't know where she lives, but you should know her live journal is still up and running.
What?
Like she posted September 17th, 2024. And
I didn't even know that was still around.
I didn't either. But let me just read you. Let me just read y'all. So she posted this last post just because it's like, she'd be posting some things, but she's like, I hope y'all had a great summer. Life's been very steady recently, so I've been happy. Fall is so nice, so I plan to play online games under a pseudo, cook good food, and work hard. Blessed be. So, the comments, y'all. People are brutal. Somebody said, and kill your mom?
Damn.
She responded. She's responding to the comments, and she said, I didn't do that. Then someone said, hey there, so I'm genuinely curious if you didn't know anything at all about the plans your boyfriend and ex-boyfriend were making. I had read that you made a comment to a friend on the Monday after your mother's disappearance that, quote, she probably died in a drunk driving accident, which is the way your boyfriend and ex-boyfriend were planning on how to do it. She responded, we had talked, but you know how people that are angry talk. We hadn't made a full plan and I wasn't a part of it. If I'm guilty of bad thoughts and jokes, then so are millions of others. Luckily for you, with your new fascist regime, you will soon be guilty of thought crime like I was.
Wow.
And then somebody commented, you're that dumb girl who had her mom killed because you're a low-life brat, huh? And she said, I didn't do that. Why are you such a bully? And then somebody else said, why are you such a killer? And she said, I've never killed. You are risking court with character defamation. You are a Democrat keyboard warrior. We need to flush you out so you quit infecting our society with continual negative thoughts.
Maybe not put that out there, ma'am, because the last time you put some shit out there, people did kill someone.
Right. And like, it's interesting, but it's still alive. You can go to My Crappy Life and see her whole thing.
That's so hard because, like, at the same time,
she paid her time.
And so it's like you can't keep harassing her on that because she did her time.
I do agree with that. I definitely do agree with that. It's like, as much as, no matter how you feel about Gypsy Rose, she did her time. Like, she can't, you know, she did do her time. But it's just, she's so, like, I don't know, not angry, because that's not the word I want to look for, but it's like, I'm just shocked that she responds.
Yeah. I'm shocked that she only got 3 years.
Yes. Yes. Because, again, that's the problem with those types of sentences, is it's like people literally get more for just possessing drugs.
Yeah.
When I saw the 3 years, I literally was like, my eyes got big and I like, what?
Wow. Wow. I just feel like people get more than that for them to do, like, slander and put out fake news, and then something happens and it's like, no, you caused this, and they get more than 3 years.
Yeah. I don't know. But I definitely think she should have gotten way more. But, you know, I really was thinking about it, though. Like, other than the boys testifying against her, there really was no evidence against her.
Yeah.
I can see how it ended in a hung jury. Like, if you truly take away, especially if you take away her confession, because she was a 16-year-old. And did she really know, you know, I mean, without a parent present and all of that, like, if you really do take that away, there really isn't that much evidence. Yeah. I mean, you have her own words of the abuse and stuff on the live journal. And, you know, you can bring people in to say how she was acting after and all of that. But it's like, there really wasn't a lot of hard evidence against her. But for some reason, I just immediately was like, yeah, she did this. Like, I don't know why, but
yeah,
I really didn't see any evidence that showed that she did. So that's why I'm like, I kind of can see why there was a hung jury.
Yeah, no, that's true.
But for some reason, I'm like, yeah, she guilty.
Yeah. Can the state of Mississippi listen to this podcast and be like, oh, Donna should never be on a jury? Because they love to freaking...
Yeah, but you didn't have to go. They don't know that... But I don't think they know that you didn't have to go.
Oh, okay. Because Carrie, remember, she got jury duty and she's like, oh my God, I never get it. Donna always gets it. I got it again. But I didn't have to go. But I'm like, I'm not an impartial person.
I know.
And so I just want to be like, I don't mean to be that way, but I just have my opinions. And I'm a Leo, so I value my opinion.
Yeah, but that's what they bank on, though. That's why they have people get paid a lot of money to figure out what your opinions are to be able to, I mean, you know.
The next time I do it and I get called, I need to find the episode where you said they told the jury not to try the thing. And I was like, oh, I would have totally tried that.
For real.
And
yes.
Then, like, just exhibit A, Your Honor. Okay. Like, I shouldn't be here, but can you still pay me for my day? Thank you. Also, you know, you're in a bind money-wise when you're like, I really don't want to do that because I know I'm not going to get picked. That's a thing. But I would get paid like the $75 for that.
It's $75? I thought it was $40.
Maybe it is $40. But I would also get paid for my job because they pay for jury duty.
Like, yeah.
I was like, that would be nice.
Right.
Well, I want to do a disclaimer that this was part of the Christmas Creeps last week, but then I was like, oh, this is going to be longer, so I could just do this by itself. Well, we got two more Christmas Creeps because the other one wasn't that long. Another thing is, remember how Carrie said, man, your storytelling is really weird today, and, like, you know, all the things. She was like, Donna's own one. I wrote this at the same time, so just know I was in that state of mind.
Lovely. That on top of your sugar high today.
Legit, I was about to say. And so then compound that with the sugar I ate. I had to try all the stuff Carrie made, though. All right. The first creep we're going to talk about is good old Bell Snickle. So basically, he is the Weezer of Christmas. Like, from Steel Magnolias, a.k.a. Carrie's Familiar. Because if you know anything about Weezer and
Clary,
that's me and Carrie.
That is, if you've never watched Steel Magnolias, first of all, go watch it. And while you're watching it, think of Donna and me, because you'll be like, damn, that's truly them.
So really, this is basically Carrie, but she loves Christmas. So this would be Carrie any other day of the year. Belsnickel is a crotchety old man who came from German folklore. The name comes from the word bells, which means fur, and nickel, which was a reference to Saint Nicholas. Also, something I saw said trickster in furs.
Trickster what?
Trickster in furs.
Trickster's in F-U-R?
It'll make sense in a minute.
Karen. I know, but I didn't know if you were saying in furs, like I'm in, like, you know what I mean? Like, God. Like I in space F-U-R-S or I in F-E-R-S.
Okay, I said that bells means fur.
Oh, true, true, true.
Nickel refers to Saint Nicholas.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Also said to translate to a trickster in furs.
Okay, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, I'm like in my lawyer phase because I said that like back, like reference that.
Yeah, except for you just read your shit, so.
I know. Okay, so Belsnickel is also sometimes referred to as the Christmas woman because he will arrive dressed in women's clothing, but it's because it's like a robe and like a raggedy attire, just like anything he could put on, layers and whatevs. But the thing is that he wasn't like a friend of St. Nick's. He was his solo person. He did not need anything because he was good and evil by himself. Because, you know, like Krampus, evil. St. Nick, good. Like there's no, because let's just be honest, like Santa Claus gives things to the good kids. Cole isn't really a punishment. You know what I mean? Like Krampus doesn't do anything for the good kids, but like punishes the bad kids.
Yeah.
But Belsnickel, he's like flipping a nickel because he could be good or bad.
Flipping a nickel. Kind of clever.
Okay, so he's usually a man. He's dressed in furs, like not inferring something, but in furs, like boots with the fur.
Thanks, Nellie.
Okay. And he has a mask. He's usually disheveled, torn clothing, all the things.
You think I'm disheveled?
No. Okay. Well,
sometimes.
Hmm.
I mean, kind of am currently, but.
I mean, nothing'll beat when you have like a lime green shirt, like orange pants, a purple sock, a pink sock, your navy Crocs.
True.
Yeah. Your hair looks like George Washington.
You're not wrong.
And then you have Kleenex on your face where you've had to stop all your stuff because she picks at her face.
You're not wrong.
But also look at me. I did this today. Picked at my face. Anyway, but like for real, you're not disheveled looking. Another thing about Belsnickel is that he will have bits of foliage and like other nature shit as decor, including deer antlers. So Colby would like it. He usually has long, tangled hair and a scraggly beard. And he would carry a sack and a switch to get those naughty kids. He's like the evil Tally the Elf from Disney Talk. Like when he's like, naughty!
I have no idea what... I think I don't... Are you speaking English right now?
You've said Tally?
A lot of words this episode. I don't know what's happening.
Tally the Elf?
Uh-uh.
When he's like, Carrie. Let me see. Carrie? Uh-huh. Naughty!
No.
What? He's taken TikTok by storm. Okay, I've said it enough that like it's probably gonna pop up
on my thing, yeah.
And you're gonna be like, oh, that's it. Because he also saw a service dog, and he was like, whatever the dog's name. He was like, nice. You're nice. It was cute. He's in a parade, y'all, at Disney. He's not just like a random person going up and doing this. Is that like one of the parades? Anyway, but in this sack, he does have some candies, some fruits for the good kids who don't get that whipping with the switch. So the Bellsnickel will visit the homes of the children about 1 to 2 weeks before Christmas Day. What you hear is like not a knock, knock, knock. He goes like tap, tap, tap in his switches on the windows. And like the kids are, you know, like nestled in their beds with sugar plums dancing in their heads or whatever. And then they hear, let's just say like a branch on the window, like a scratch and all of that. And it's like, oh, fuck. But that switch ASMR wakes them up, sends a shiver down their spine. I said ASMR. You, that was funny, right?
You wrote a lot of words in the story.
Okay, we're going to get comments. Can you never write like that again?
What did Tiffany tell you?
You were a lot this episode. No, Donna was on one or something like that. Donna was a lot this episode. Yeah, a lot of goodness. Okay. So Bellsnickel, he will then randomly burst through their door like the Kool-Aid man, immediately asking questions. So like, he did not read them Miranda rights. He did not do that. He was like, where were you on September 22? Like, I don't know why he would say 22, but whatevs. I couldn't say 11 because that's what came in my head. Because it's
my God, y'all.
It's my dad's birthday, but you can't say that. Wait.
If this is somebody's first episode, we talked for 400 minutes at the beginning of it.
You didn't stop me.
I mean, me too. Oh. I mean, I basically like listed out a fucking recipe. They're like, shut up. I don't care about your brownies.
They were good, y'all.
Clearly, they give you the hype you need.
So what I mean by this is that he will basically quiz the kids. And then sometimes they have to sing some songs. And after he's dazzled, he'll toss goodies onto the floor. So if like you answer the questions right, you sing a song and you don't sound like me, he's like, oh, okay. And he tosses the candy.
Do we know what kinds of questions?
Usually it's like about being naughty or nice, but it's not like, when did Alaska,
yeah, you know, say, become a state? Trivia? Because I'm probably not going to do so hot.
No, it was more about like morality. But when he tosses the candy, it's still kind of a test. Because if you go Augustus Galoot, I know that's not the real name, but that's what I always call him. But what did you say it was?
Isn't it Galoot? No, I don't know.
I don't know. But you know, the kid with the chocolate in Willy Wonka. And if you do that and you greedily go for the food, they get their hands or their backs hit with the switch.
Gloop.
Which, that is like entrapment, okay? You can't throw the candy down there and want me to be like, oh, I'll be patient. No. Now, if he asked them like their good deeds and stuff and they can't, like they're like, well, he has no patience and he'll just switch them. Like whip them with the switch, not like switch them. I have to tell you this because, you know, infers. So now there are some stories of Bellsnickel being a little bit more scary. One account said that he was kind of like Krampus and he would drag kids who had been bad into the woods and he would make them pay for their bad behavior and they would never be seen again. Then other folklore said that he would kidnap the naughty kids while they were sleeping, like little Johnny dreaming of candy canes, and he'd get snatched from the bed and never return.
I wonder how these stories of people like kids literally getting kidnapped, they clearly didn't get kidnapped. Like, how do those start?
But okay, so you say that, and do y'all remember, I don't know why this came up in my brain like so quick when you said that, but do y'all remember like, oh God, it was like 10 years ago, and something was going around where someone said on Facebook that their roommate or their college friend woke up and this person had like put not duct tape, but like dextered the whole apartment, but couldn't get into their room and left. And like everyone was like, oh no, that was my friend, whatever. And it's like, that didn't happen. But like everyone,
yeah,
like was like, no, that did happen. And I mean, well, one, it's fucking believable. But I even had a coworker who was like, my daughter told me that her friend, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, I literally saw that on Facebook.
Right.
And it was someone else saying that their cousin did that. So what I mean by that for you is like,
people lie. Would,
you wouldn't say like, whatever, Augustus Elwin, sorry. You wouldn't say like, little boy Augustus is missing from like, whatever, you know what I mean? Like pinpoint something. It'd be like, oh my God. So in my village, this little boy was sleeping in his bed and he is never blah, blah, blah. And it's like,
yeah,
not someone. And someone else is like, and the telephone game.
Yes.
So that's how that gets started. Cause you know, we'd believe it. So now, like I said, this is tradition and folklore started in Germany, but it did make its way over here via the Pennsylvania Dutch population. But during the first half of the 20th century, it kind of died down because, like, basically the World Wars happened. And so, like, celebrating German traditions in the U.S. was kind of, like, not the cool thing to do. However, it's reemerged. Even in season 9, episode 9 of The Office, Dwight brought the Bellsnickel tradition to the masses because he dressed up as that character. Now, before it did die down in the 20th century, there was this tradition of Bellsnickling. So it's kind of like caroling, but not really. Like, maybe not at all, but basically, it's like trick-or-treating with the Christmas, like, little, like, sprinkles. So in Pennsylvania, groups of people would get together, don the costume or disguise of Bellsnickel. So again, like, raggedy clothes, a mask, like scraggly hair, maybe some antlers, like poison ivy, whatever. Nature. Now, you wanted to hide yourself so someone like use pillows for padding, just so it's not like, oh, that's so-and-so. You know what I mean? It's like, I had no idea. Anyway, just to throw you off. So if the homeowner guessed correctly, they'd all go in, have some refreshments. If they didn't guess correctly, the homeowner had to provide the refreshments, which could be candy or brandy. I mean, literally, it was like candy or alcohol, and I just had to rhyme.
Okay, I was wondering. I was like, oh, dang, a little rhyme.
It's me. Something I did want to bring up, too, though, this isn't really about Bellsnickel, but the Pennsylvania Dutch brought over the Christmas tree tradition.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's what it said. And then they also use edible stuff to decorate. So like the dried oranges, the cranberries, the popcorn, all of that come from the Pennsylvania Dutch. Now there's another tradition, and it's about hiding a pickle ornament deep in the branches of the Christmas tree. And the parents hung the pickle last. So like after all the ornaments were in place. And in the morning, the child who found the pickle first would receive an extra gift.
That's so funny that you talk about that, because we were somewhere recently looking at like Christmas stuff. And Colby was like, what's the thing with the pickle? And I told him, I mean, I didn't remember all that detail, but I was like, you had the pickle in the tree. That's all I remembered.
That's funny. But that's about the Bellsnickel. So like, that's what I thought would be enough, but it wasn't. So the second and final Christmas creep of 2024 is something I'm going to mispronounce, but I'm going to try to put some respect on her name because this reminds me of who I would be if I were Christmas folklore. Okay. Carrie was Crotchety Carrie Bellsnickel.
Dang.
But me, this is me. Okay. Her name is Maudie Lloyd. Or Mari Lloyd, but it's like M-A-R-I, but it's Welsh. And, you know, again, I'm trying to pronounce it, but I am going to just say Mari Lloyd after that because, you know what I mean? So let me paint a picture for you. Imagine it's a cold winter night in Wales. You're sitting by the fire. You're enjoying the Christmas leftovers because that's even better than the Christmas dinner. When suddenly there's a little rat-a-tat-tat on the door, You open it and bam, face to face with a ghost horse. Carrie's face. But like, don't worry, it's not here to haunt you. Now, it could be scary because sometimes it's like, you know, the skulls that Colby gets from the deer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but it's a horse skull and it will usually be like in shadow because it's at night. So like, it's still creepy, but it's not. We're going to talk about the wonderfully bizarre Mari Lloyd. The first recorded mention of Mari Lloyd comes from 1800, and it translates roughly to gray mare. And some people think this is a reference to pale horses in Celtic mythology, which is all about like abundance and good things. Some believe it means Holy Mary, referring to the Virgin Mary. Then there's the middle of the two, okay? And they believe that it's a reference to a pregnant horse that was cast out of the stable that Mary gave birth to Jesus in. So it's like that pregnant horse just fucking chilling there. And they were like, hey, you got to go. I got to give birth here in the stable, in the manger. And the pregnant horse was like, nay, 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 but had to go and roam around. And now that's why it's still roaming, looking for a place to give birth to its own. Okay, so this is what it looks like. It's a horse's skull on a stick, but you don't see the stick because it's draped in like a big white sheet. Now, it can be a little raggedy or it could be like crisp and white. So either raggedy or like cult-like, okay? But it has shiny ribbons. I fucking love shiny ribbons, okay? And then it has lights for eyes. And I think what they mean by that, because they say like baubles and stuff. So it's like gems in the eyes. So it's like Halloween with Christmas mixed, but make it festive. Now, the real MVP of the night is the person who hides under the sheet, holds the stick with the horse's head. And it's like, well, the skull, carrying the skull. And again, like, you know, everyone's behind it. It knocks on the door. And that's what you're faced with at the very beginning. Like I said, Mari does not work alone. This diva rolls deep. She's got an entourage of singers, some people who'll play some instruments. And, you know, like they're just like some merrymakers who travel from house to house. So that kind of sounds like caroling, right? But their whole thing is that they're demanding entry into the person's house. But this is how they do it. It's in a battle of rhymes. I'm not lying.
Okay, so we're going straight to 8 Mile.
Carrie, you stole my thing.
Sorry. Are your knees weak?
I said, think of it as 8 Mile, but with more poetry and a lot less Eminem. And this motherfucker took it from me.
Unless their treats are M&Ms.
Oh my God, though. Ooh, which one would they be? Plain or peanut?
In this case, I'm feeling a little plain. But you know what a patient brought us?
What?
They look like little bitty gumball machines.
Oh, I saw it.
Yes. So cute, y'all. It was like a little shot glass solo cup with like a clear ball on top. And it had, well, it was like a clear ornament on top. And it had baby M&Ms, mini M&Ms.
Mini M&Ms.
Ooh, it was so good.
Oh, I know. And Colby was looking at it and I was like, oh God, if he opens that, they're going to get a divorce.
Never. We don't even say that word.
No. I mean,
look,
if he opened it, I would have been like, give me a little bit. Because Carrie was doing something she wasn't looking. So, that's it. But okay. So what it was, the whole 8 Mile of it all, is a freestyle rap battle, basically. So Mari is the leader of it, but like she has her whole gang behind her and they're trying to sweet talk their way inside. And they're like, hey, 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 it's, you know, like, baby, it's cold outside. Like, we really need to warm up. But the homeowner can't just be like, oh, come on in. Like, no, you have to say like, nay, nay, nay. Because she's a horse.
Yeah.
Okay. But
sorry, I was thinking like black-eyed kids can't be let in. I was doing that in my head.
Yeah. You, this is a fun one.
Okay. Nay, nay, nay.
Okay. So they're like, nope, you can't do it.
Like, no, no. Nay, nay, nay.
Nay, nay, nay. Okay.
What a terrible song for her demise.
Yeah.
Like, I feel awkward even singing that.
I know, but it is a good song.
But, like, is it, though? It's a pretty terrible message.
It is, but it's just, like, one of those
catchy. It's catchy.
Yeah. Anyway, so they go back and forth. So it's like this freestyle slam poetry rap battle, right? And all I can picture, because I love Halloween, but is the Good Witch. And, you know, like when her and her friend is like, top this or whatever. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
No, you never seen it. Okay. Wait, is it called The Good Witch? I think. No, Teen Witch.
I
God
was like,
bless.
I don't think no, so. The Good Witch, is the Hallmark. Yes. That's why I was like, I don't know.
No, sorry, Teen Witch. Okay. But so Mari usually wins and the party goes inside. They're treated with food, drinks, you know, all the things. But if the homeowners win, they're like, okay, well, we'll go to the next house. You know, it's really civil. But some people say like the Mari Lloyd will be a little mischievous and try to steal things and like chase people that she likes. You know what I mean? Like it's like a fun thing, not like I'm going to chase you and like attack you, take you to the woods and you're never going to be seen again. Like Belsnickel, like it's just like, hey, let's play freeze tag, you know, and you might get some candy after.
Right.
So the Mari Lloyd is believed to bring luck and prosperity if it goes inside the house. So like, I mean, usually people are going to be like, no, no, no. But yes, yes, yes. Come on in because they want it. And this comes from wassailing, which again is like caroling, but there is a carol.
Wait, yes. Here we go.
Wassailing.
Yeah, here we go. A wassailing.
Yes. So this is where this all comes from, okay?
God, man, we would win on some Christmas trivia right now.
Oh, God. Okay. And all of this kind of is about the winter solstice because the horse in Celtic mythology symbolizes like death and rebirth. And so with it being the winter solstice, days are shorter, nights are longer, it's cold. We all get like seasonal depression, right? So like this is just like a nice way to, it's after Christmas, it's like right there and it's fun. It's something fun to do. Also, I feel like I could do this because you would be in a mask, in a costume. So like, even if you're a terrible singer, it's like karaoke. Like you might not sing normally, but like in karaoke, like you'll sing. I mean, not me.
I was like, you've literally never done karaoke, I don't think.
No, because I'm not bad. Maybe I should have said it's like in the shower.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Okay.
I'm like, I don't. Yeah.
So the wassailing comes in to where it was like in the 18th, 19th century, and it would be like the caroling door to door. You'd sing, you'd do all the thing like, ooh, merry old St. Nicholas or whatever.
Jolly, but yes.
Okay.
Lean your ear this way.
But it would be in exchange for food and drink. And that's why I say I could be Mary Lloyd because I will do anything for a snack. All right. I am a snack and I will do anything for a snack. So this is caroling. But with snacks.
Caroling with a purpose.
Right. So this was wassailing, but Mary Lloyd would bring her own unique flavor to it because, you know, she's bringing the drama. And I think she must have been a Leo, too, because she was very dramatic. Like, you're going to knock, be like a bedazzled horse skull and then like demand in. Then they have to say no. And then you have to like step up and say all the things. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like West Side Story over here. And then also the wassailers, why it's called this too, is they would receive a wassail, which is spiced cider.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. That would warm your belly and warm you up from being outside in the cold.
No, see, I can't do that because then I'd be like, okay, but on our wassailing, where am I going to go pee? You just made me drink something. Where's the next pit stop?
Mm-hmm. So if you are ever in Wales during the holiday season And you hear a knock at the door. That sounds like if you're supermarket and you hear the beep, think of all the fun that you could have on Supermarket Sweep.
Yeah, I didn't watch that show.
Oh, my God.
I actually didn't like it.
What?
I know. I didn't. I'm sorry. I know.
That is like the one game show that I'm like, ugh. Well, yeah. That and Wheel of Fortune.
I didn't like it. It was I didn't so understand much
fun.
The hype.
It was so much fun.
I didn't understand the hype.
Oh, my God. Because you, like, as a kid, you never just wanted to run through and just, like, throw shit in the buggy.
Mm-mm.
Oh, God, I did. And I'd be like, go for that coffee. Sometimes, because the coffee would take too long. Anyway, let me go back to my thing. I interrupt myself. When you hear a knock at the door, don't be alarmed, because it could be, you know, a sheet-draped skeleton demanding a rap battle. So just rhyme like your life depends on it, or at least your snacks do.
You're a good writer. That end was good. I mean, the storytelling was shit, but that end was good.
Yeah.
That is like, yeah, my story's short. 10 hours later. Like, we got some M&Ms and a rap battle and wiener schnitzel and I don't even know what else.
But I thought this was fun because, like, Belle Snickle wasn't, like, super creepy, but yeah. Creepy. But then Mari Lloyd is, like, she's just here for the snacks and the drinks.
I feel that,
and the
sis.
Songs. But, like, also cardio, though. Mm.
Yeah, but it's cold. You know, they got all those clothes on. They're probably walking real slow. We could do that.
I'd be like, can I have a
portable heater? You can borrow Colby's that you got for Christmas.
Well, yes, that. But can it be hooked to like a motorized scooter?
Oh.
And then I could have like a pony like stuck to it.
We'll just take the four-wheeler.
Perfect. We should do this. Let's do it to Tiff.
Oh, God. Could you just see us, like, be driving Colby's truck with, like, the trailer going behind us with the four-wheeler on it? And we're like, tip, tip, tip.
And me and you fucking up the lyrics.
Here we go. A wassailing. What do I say next?
Oh, I did want to say, with the wassailing, I didn't think about this, but because they do sing for food, it's believed that, like, it started with the poorer people doing mm-hmm. it, and they would go to sing for food. And so it was like,
is that where Sing for Your Supper comes from?
Oh, shit. I don't know. Anyway, so just a little tidbit.
I do love snacks.
I love the old Christmas carols. So like, I'd like that.
Yeah, me too.
Also, could you picture though, like someone just having like a big beatbox? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Like, just
boombox. But boom, yeah, box. You beatbox, but you carry a boombox. Also, I was going somewhere with my mom and, you know, Christmas music was playing and one of the Ariana Grande Christmas songs came on and mom goes, she must be popular. She always comes on now.
Well.
I'm like, she kind of is, yeah.
She's gonna be popular. See what I did there?
I got it.
Okay. Offbeat, totally. Off pitch. Absolutely. Don't let me have sweets anymore.
Everyone is. Oh, okay, bye. Everyone listening is like, please, for the love of God. No, you've been fun. I like it. I like you hyped up. Lord. A new listener may not, but I love it.
Like, I don't know what that girl was on. I was on a brownie, a candy crock pot, and, oh, a lemon pound cake.
Yeah, lemon everything bundt cake. So she is hyped up.
I am. I'm going to crash.
You are. You might cry before you crash. I feel
I
that
probably
coming.
Will.
You almost did earlier, I felt like, because you laughed so hard at one point.
Yes, I was snorting behind the scenes, y'all.
You just got to give her a minute.
But thank y'all for making it this far with us. And by that, I mean this episode, but also this year.
Absolutely. Last episode of the year. We're not going to make any grandiose statements about the coming year because, you know, last time we did that was 2020. So
yep.
We're just going to say 25 is like a round number to me.
Yeah.
Because it's like a quarter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm feeling like I like the number.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to be 40. We're going to be fabulous and 40.
Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to like, subscribe, review all the things. And remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.